Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Week 12 is not quite in the books, but we're going to go ahead and look ahead to week 13 in the waiver wire. I'm Jake Letarski. You can find me on Twitter at RotoJake. Filling in this week, thank you very much for Joe, is Jeff Erickson. You know the man, he needs no introduction. Find him on Twitter at Jeff_Erickson, FSTA Hall of Famer. Also, I found out recently, member of the Hole-in-One Club in golf, and very, very recently, almost made it a second one. Jeff, how's it going today?
Is Tim Schuler telling you stories about me again?
Yes, yes. I'm hearing golf stories from Shu.
Yeah, I did once have one. Yeah, and that was fun. You know, I certainly played enough, but, you know, I have a great uncle. I had a great uncle who had five, plus a lip out on one. He lived to be 103 years old, too. So, amazing man. I'm doing well. Very busy, as are you. I mean, you've got college hoops going right now and football. We're not even done with week 12 yet. We're talking week 13 free agents. I'm doing the value meter later today. It's a busy time, but it's a good time. Let's jump into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So first, I mean, scheduling changes. I think when I listened to you and Liz, we were still going forward as if the game was going to happen on Tuesday. And now we've got the game here pushed over to Wednesday, which means most leagues, I think, are going to do waiver wires Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, especially with no Thursday night football this week. That's kind of the norm that you're hearing too, right?
Yeah, in fact, I know Yahoo for sure has pushed it back. There's some talk even maybe pushing it to Thursday night in some cases because no Thursday game, which, hey, I'm all on board for that. More information we have, the better. I mean, how many people rushed to pick up Samaje Perine last week?
Yes, you know, exactly.
And, you know, granted, yeah, I mean, you would have had to wait to do waivers until Friday night to do that, but or Saturday even. But It's crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, I do this show with Joe every week on Tuesday, and there's always a couple guys like it was the Jameis Hill or Jameis Winston story, you know, a couple weeks ago where on Tuesday that looks like a prime play. But then you get to, you know, Friday, Saturday, and it's not quite there here. So, yeah, definitely a unique week. And I'm very much in favor of, you know, giving us extra days to get as much time as possible here. I want to get a quick read in first for prop swap. Smart sports bettors always know where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use prop swap. You can always find the best odds on prop swap because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. PropSwap sellers are always willing to negotiate, and we all know bookies never will. And for a limited time, our listeners can get up to $500 in bonus cash. Just use the promo code ROTO500. That's promo code ROTO500. And PropSwap will match your first deposit up to $500. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. Jeff, we usually get started on Tuesdays by talking a little bit about Monday Night Football here. I mean, Seahawks took care of the Eagles pretty handily. DK Metcalf is an absolute fantasy god. The story here that stands out to me at least is, I mean, Wentz is bad, but he's not getting a lot of help either. I mean, how close do you think we are to maybe Jalen Hurts' time, or do you think we still see this kind of split going, you know, indefinitely?
Well, the one thing I will do is make sure I don't ask Ian Rappaport his opinion about that, because he was like, oh, we're going to have a lot more Jalen Hurts this week, and he had two plays. Like, really?
Exactly.
Really?
I mean, that's why we separate rumors in its own little corner of the site from news, you know, basically the Ian Rappaport feed.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, there's Glazer, there's Schefter, mm-hmm. step. Rappaport. You know, Pelissero, yeah. I'd put above Rappaport for sure too. You know, mm-hmm. And he's yeah. same network too, in NFL Network. You know, they do that. But he's not getting much help, both from the offensive line and from his wide receiving core. You know, Travis Fulgham was a great story for a while. He wasn't even on the field I think he was only on the field for like 38 snaps last night. Mm-hmm. The bloom is off that rose a little. Alshon Jeffrey got open one play on a go. They highlighted that he was open and he didn't throw him. They threw the check down instead. Miles Sanders had two bad drops. Jalen Reagor, you know, he had a lot of contested plays. Didn't come down with them. They were tough. But, you know, mm-hmm. for someone who's supposed to be a first-round pick, a league receiver, kind of make those plays.
Absolutely.
And the offensive line is just in shambles. I think that's the biggest factor. That offensive line's in really bad shape. Mm-hmm. And the play plan is terrible, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the telecast nailed it here. You know, people will want to clamor for Hurts and want change for the sake of change, but, you know, with the offensive line problems aren't going away. Your receiving core issues, I mean, Dallas Goedert was your leading receiver with 10 targets in that game. The receiving core issues aren't going away. You could go to Hurts, but I don't think it necessarily gets much better here. So you just kind of play this out. And again, this is the NFC East. So really, you go on a 2-game win streak and suddenly you're in first place.
Right. And we've all seen Hurts as a passer in college. He lost his job to Tua for a reason. You know, mm-hmm. he was a dynamic player at Oklahoma, but it wasn't because of his throwing. It's because of his legs. You know, he's more of a run quarterback than he is a passing quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Any other notes on this game here? I mean, Miles Sanders had a rough one. Chris Carson's back. Any other takeaways at all?
You know, one of the things is on the Seahawks side of things, the play calling early was terrible there too. Like David Moore on a jet sweep and fourth and goal. I mean, it's like it's Brian Schottenheimer. We shouldn't be surprised. Remember when Brian Schottenheimer was the offensive coordinator in Atlanta and he pulled some of that garbage? That Patriots game. There's a Sunday night game. The Pats were hosting the Falcons. He did the same thing with running jet sweeps on fourth down there too. And not having Julio Jones on the field on critical plays, that Falcons-Eagles playoff game. He had no Julio, no Sanu. They didn't have his top two receivers on the field for that play. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. They may do some dumb things from time to time. They've let Russ cook mm-hmm. most of the year, but they still they can't help themselves every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very happy as someone who rostered Chris Carson in a couple leagues to have him back.
Sure.
But Carlos Hyde got 15 carries compared to Carson's 8 there. I imagine that it'll kind of flip-flop here as these next
couple
weeks.
Yeah, that was just a working
right.
in sort
yeah,
of thing.
Exactly. Right on time for the fantasy playoffs there. So, all right, meat and potatoes here. Going to talk some waiver wire here, of course. Great piece by Kevin Payne on the website talking about, you know, some early targets you can get. And, of course, we might see this waiver wire thing moved a little bit. Last week, Joe and I talked about Taysom Hill, Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield. I mean, Mayfield ended up having one of the better games out of the three there, but I don't think that necessarily means he played spectacular. By
I know. I was going to say, you read the box score and you think, okay, that was a good game. You watch the game, you see one of the worst passes of the season, that missed throw to Rashard Higgins in the end zone, and then follow that up with overthrowing Landry at the goal line too on that one there. It was a great goal line stand by Mayfield, but then he made these impossible throws. It was wild.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and of course, this is always going to be the run-first team, and you might think on paper that, you know, he's got a matchup against Tennessee. If you look at it stacks up, Tennessee's given up quite a few fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks, you know, of late. But, you know, maybe I'm looking somewhere else to stream. Maybe I'll target Baker Mayfield's opponent from last week and look to a guy like Kirk Cousins, who has the home game against Jacksonville. He's only 40% rostered in Yahoo leagues. And again, it's early. It's Tuesday. We don't know, but maybe Adam Thielen comes back. That can only help him for sure.
Yeah. Zimmer said yesterday that he expects him to come back, but yeah, we'll find the practice reports. The transactions will tell the story. If he's out there, if he's activated, he's playing. And it's a very binary thing, at least with that. We know he's in or he's out. It's kind of like a concussion for that matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Any interest in Phillip Rivers, 30% at Houston? It's another one where the matchup is there, but then you have to sit back and think, man, the playoffs are on the line, and I'm thinking about starting Phillip Rivers in my lineup this week.
Right, of course. No Bradley Roby, though. The question is, what sort of pass rush is Houston going to generate? Because we know Rivers, when he faces a ferocious pass rush, he's in trouble. When he doesn't, he can carve teams up. Witness what he did against Cincy. What he did, he had a good 3-week stretch where he's actually throwing pretty well, threw over 300 yards. But if he has to play catch up, if he has to, if he has to dodge the rush, then yeah, he's a liability. But if he has time, he'll do well. So I think it's probably more. I think this is a pretty good matchup for him.
Yeah, for sure. So the other guy I had was going to talk about in more of a feature spot, but now, you know, I see the news today that Tua looks like he's leaning towards playing, you know, again, Tuesday show, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 20% versus your Cincinnati Bengals here. There was some interest in Fitzpatrick. Maybe he would sneak into the rankings with those other guys I discussed, but now it's just kind of wait and see what happens here.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice scheduling quirk there for the Dolphins to get after Tua gets hurt, you get the Jets and Bengals. Thank you. It's a nice little bonus there. Gives him a better chance to hang on in that AFC East to stay with the Bills. Yeah, he's usable. Either one, whoever gets a start is usable. Tua, you know, he had that great game against Arizona. We're like, okay, yeah, he's ascendant. We kind of forgot what happened against the Jets, though. I mean, against the Rams the week before when he really struggled early, and then the Dolphins defense took over that game and he wasn't asked to do that much. I think he's another one of those guys that, you know, against a good pass rush, which is a null set in Cincinnati, by the way. So that means, yeah, he'd struggle in, but this is a good setup for him. Yeah. So I think he's definitely usable.
Yeah. I picked Tua up in a 14 teamer where I had Patrick Mahomes to kind of use on his bye. And then I hung on to him for a little while, but he's since been sent back to the waiver wire here. You see what you've got going on here and he's generally the short end of the stick there here. I put Mike Glennon in two quarterback league conversations because he did play pretty well in the loss to Cleveland. And that was, you know, without a couple of top receivers here, you know, in DJ Shark. And I believe Chris Conley was out for that one. So we don't know if we're going to go back to Jake Luton.
Probably Minshew. It's either going to be Minshew or Glennon. And it might be Minshew. That's the thing. That's the wild card here in that one there. I would actually take a look at Gardner Minshew and see if he's available, because it's a good matchup against Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Climate controlled, indoors, you know, this bad defense. They're getting a little bit better here and there. Eric Kendricks is a really good linebacker. He's causing problems for people. But, you know, I think that that's not a bad matchup there, especially if they get DJ Chark back. That's a big consideration there, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So whoever's under center there, assuming you get Chark back. The latest we have on our site is, you know, Coach Doug Marrone said after the game that Glennon's performance will certainly impact the decision-making process, you know, for the Vikings thing. And like you said, glorious matchup against the Vikings. You know, that's kind of a JV secondary there. They lost their big guys and then have also kind of been bit by the injury bug a little bit. You know, more two quarterback league guys. We kind of talked about Hurts. I don't necessarily see him getting enough snaps to be relevant. And I mean, he's kind of one of those guys that maybe is rostered in two quarterback leagues already. I mean, I think I know the answer to this, but any interest in Colt McCoy if Daniel Jones can't go?
All ports in a storm. It is Seattle, although that Seattle is obviously not the same matchup as it was earlier this year. We've seen the last couple of weeks they played harder. But yeah, I mean, if it's him or, you know, trying to think, yeah, he's probably QB 31 or 32. But guess what? If you're in a super flex league, I'm in a 14 team super flex league. You know, mm-hmm. just like yep. every job has value, you know, every quarterback has value in that sort of sense. You might not, because some people are hoarding. They have three, maybe four quarterbacks. You know, you got to, that's the port in your storm right there.
Yeah, that's exactly why Joe and I try to hit a couple of these fringe two quarterback leagues, guys. I mean, Andy Dalton, yeah. 11% at Baltimore. Sam Darnold looks like he's going to be back, 8% versus Las Vegas. You know, they're definitely in a tier below that first set of guys that we talked about here. And yeah, the Giants, you know, Seattle, they're, what, 32nd in the league right now in points to allowed to opposing quarterbacks per game. So that's pretty rough. And also, but like you said, they look a little bit different. Will Colt McCoy see Jamal Adams coming? That was the big thing. He got home several times last night.
Yeah, and so like if your choices are Brandon Allen and Colt McCoy, I think I'd go McCoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, maybe like a Mullins ahead of him. I don't think Jimmy G's eligible to come back yet. So
yeah, although yeah, you, so said, you saw that comment though that Shanahan wants him back by the end of the year. Him and Kittle both. You know, the Niners mm-hmm. have life. And
that's amazing. I cut Kittle because it was supposed to be an 8-game injury, and I figured like, what's the best case scenario? I maybe get him back week 17 or in the playoffs. That's not going to help my fantasy team, but apparently I'm going to help somebody else because now I'm sitting there with I think Noah Fant is my starting tight end, and there's no quarterback.
Yeah. Although they'll have a quarterback this week at least. All three of those guys tested negative. They're supposed to be eligible again on Wednesday. So I got to expect they're going to sign like another safety, you know, another quarterback that's put away on their mm-hmm. practice squad, and they'll quarantine this one too.
Yeah, exactly. So I assume it'll be Drew Lock. I mean, just for the two quarterback leagues out there. Yeah, he was out because of the contact tracing, but tested negative on Sunday, but just wasn't going to play, you know, overly precautionary.
That's right. Well, it's because they all wore maskless and on camera without masks in the same room together. So okay.
Yeah, nah, that's a big no-no for 2020 here. I think we covered the quarterbacks about as well as we possibly can. So let's move on to running backs. Last week, Joe and I talked about Gus Edwards, who, of course, still hasn't played yet. We talked about Frank Gore, who seems to be still in play. He's only 25% rostered in Yahoo leagues. James White has kind of crossed our 50% rostered threshold. He ended up with two touchdowns. Brian Hill, kind of that Hill-Ito Smith, you know, split. Carlos Hyde, Kerryon Johnson. I mean, out of that group here, we'll see what happens with Edwards tonight. I mean, I've seen kind of, or tomorrow night, I should say, I've kind of seen some rumblings of maybe, you know, Ingram or Dobbins suddenly being eligible if, you know, the game's pushed back enough. So maybe that smashes out Edwards a little bit. But what about Frank Gore? I mean, it's amazing that we have to have this conversation here in 2020. But, I mean, if he's going to get that type of carry volume, you don't ever feel good about starting Jets, but I mean, he's a guy that you either pick up because you need a running back or you pick up to block your opponent from getting the starting running
back,
right? Yeah,
I can't do it. I just can't. You know, I understand, you know, so, again, the any port in a storm theory, I just advocated it, but it'll take, what, 21 touches last week. And LaMichael Perrine being out just changed everything there. I get it when your alternatives are so thin, but I would rather see them, you know, it's just so Jets that they don't even think about going Ty Johnson or Josh Adams. It's just, we got to go with the professional, Frank Gore and all that. There's just no upside there. There's just none.
Exactly. It was 18 carries for Gore for 2 to Johnson. Gore was on the field 58% of snaps, 18% to Johnson, and he even ran more routes. So the usage is there. I always like to say that, you know, half of fantasy is skill and half of fantasy is opportunity when you're evaluating players. You know, who knows where the skill's at 37, but the opportunity at least seems like it was there. At least with LaMichael Perrine, I was mildly interested, you know, as a younger guy right. with some upside there. Not so interested in Gore, even though he's got the Raiders this week, and on paper that's a decent matchup. 28th most fantasy point, or 28th least fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs here in standard formats. So yeah. Definitely someone to think about here. Speaking of younger guys with a little bit more upside, I think Cam Akers has to work his way into the conversation. You know, we were talking about Jerry's Hidden Stat Line article here. He mentions in that Akers took 54% of the second half snaps and got 8 of the 9 carries. So I guess, one, if you're a Daryl Henderson owner, are you worried? And two, are you rushing to pick up someone like Akers this week?
If you're a Daryl Henderson owner, you're in a perpetual state of worry.
Of course.
And yes, I have them in like 3 leagues, of course, too. You can't really use any 3 of them, any of the 3. Like, not at least not reliably. If you're in a super deep league, and those do exist, I'm in one. I'm like that said super flex league. It's not only is it a super flex league, it's 14 teams, and there's 2 additional flex spots and 2 tight end spots. Yeah, so we dig into the corners pretty deep. And you add in, you know, Carolina and Tampa Bay being on bye, you may, you know, you might not have Mike Davis this week. Okay, yeah, I'll go with that there. I like KP's primary target, though, this week, Devontae Booker. I don't think Josh Jacobs is going to play. I know Jacobs is sharing the brave talk and all that, but I really like Booker this week. And, you know, it's against the Jets. They're favorites. They're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to try to, at least. After that stink bomb they laid against Atlanta, who knows? But I do think Booker's the guy I really want to go after this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to get to him next, and I think an argument could easily be made for Booker being the number one overall pickup this week. I mean, of course, when Josh Jacobs dealt with that ankle injury, Jacobs is tough. He's played through a lot of injuries in the past and during his rookie season, but you know, it was Booker that was getting out there, 35% snap share, 5 carries, you know, compared to 60 for Jacobs. Of course, the blowout nature of the game had a little bit to do with that. I mean, the Raiders just got destroyed by Atlanta here. Also worth noting, Jalen Richard was out due to a non-COVID illness, so he could be back to kind of sneak into that carry workload there. But you know, upcoming matchup against the Jets, this is the this could be the top pickup of the week. Probably is.
Yeah, and if you have Jacobs in leagues, and like I do, I actually have Booker stashed. You know, it's that time of year where, you know, I don't always go out and get the top backup to a player, but now that it's identified, it's clearly Booker. You know, earlier it was uncertain whether it was Booker or Richard. Now we know it's definitely Booker. You know, you go grab that guy just for this sort of rainy day. And so then you don't have to compete in fab for him.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to discuss, because I've got myself an interesting fab dilemma on my hands. You know, my 3 running backs are Josh Jacobs, Chris Carson, and Mike Davis, of course. So Carolina being on bye this week, Carolina and Tampa Bay on bye this week. So this is a situation where you don't even think about the fab number anymore. I'm throwing the rest of the fab I have on Devontae Booker, and whoever's playing me, if they have more fab than me, it would be a silly move to not make sure I get outbid for Devontae Booker.
Yeah, well, and this is where you definitely look up and see who has what fab money left. And, you know, if you can't win them, if you don't have the hammer, my advice is look to see who the next lowest person in fab is and bid one more than them. You know, they're going to max out probably, but so you just beat them, because if you can't beat, you might as well at least save a little bit later on, especially if you're allowed to fab later in the season. The NFFC, this is the last week you can fab. So it's balls to the wall. You go get them, period. Mm-hmm. Another league, another format,
you can't take
there,
it with
you can be a little bit more circumspect.
Yeah, exactly. I'm right with you there. It's definitely a unique strategy here towards the end of the year. League, and you're always playing for something, whether it's playoff seeding, whether it's a points championship. I'm always in favor of leagues that pay for points over record, because record can be so fluky. But there's always something on the line, seeding other people that you're competing for a playoff spot with. So definitely take that into account, whether it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whenever fab happens this week. Absolutely want to think about that. A couple more running backs to talk about. I wanted to talk about the Colts backfield, because you've got Jonathan Taylor. He was on the reserve COVID list, didn't play last week. It's really unclear whether he exactly tested positive. I had heard that maybe it was his girlfriend that had it, and he could have been exposed, so he was there. So who knows what's going to happen this week? That's a little bit there. Let's just assume Jonathan Taylor's out, though. I know Nyheim Hines had a heavy, heavy workload, but you have to remember that they were behind this entire game due to due to Derrick Henry just absolutely going off in the first half. I wrote down Jordan Wilkins. He's only 17% rostered. Is that a viable play for you suddenly, assuming a more normal game flow without Jonathan Taylor around?
Yeah, it's not a bad play. In fact, you know, yeah, I think so. I might even like him. If your choice is Gore or Wilkins, and we know Taylor is out, I go Wilkins. And we don't know this now. I mean, the problem, and here's the thing.
Exactly.
Pushing your waiver deadlines back a day or two is vital in this sort of instance. It gives us more time to get more information. You know, we'll have Wednesday practice reports, and that'll tell us something before we have to do our bids on Wednesday night. But yeah, there's an upside there, and you want to go against this Texans run defense. It's a pretty bad run defense. Adrian Peterson had, you know, the two rushing touchdowns. Kerryon Johnson, when he was getting work, was running well, and that's not even a good running offense, and they were able to do that. I think the Colts offensive line, Wilkins, could be a pretty interesting play. So yeah, definitely check it out. And yeah, keep in mind too, it was game flow, and also Hines tore apart Tennessee the previous matchup, so he was kind of predisposed to being the lead guy that way anyhow. But this week, that might flip a little.
Yeah, where does a guy like Alexander Mattison at 32% rostered flip into these rankings? Delvin Cook, you know, didn't have his best game. He left the game with an ankle injury, was kind of jogging around on the sidelines. Then he came back into the game. I don't necessarily think that he's in any danger yet of missing. Again, we'll want to see the practice report. But Mattison at 32%, if he's still out there, one, if you're a Cook owner, he's a must add, right? He could arguably be the top add if your running back position is already set this week.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing is, if you're a Cook owner, you should already have him, even though it didn't work out last time. I mean, that Atlanta game was hideous, but some of that was just game flow again. Some of that also was Mattison isn't Cook. I mean, he is not as much of an accomplished pass catcher. The broadcast last week, I was watching the Carolina-Minnesota game. They were talking about how Mattison tries to initiate contact where Cook is better at dodging it. And we saw that in the Seattle game, that critical fourth down play. There was an open hole, and Mattison ran right into the tackler and tried just to bowl his way into the first down, as opposed to seeing this big wide open gap that like a VW could get through. He opted not to do that. They need to work on his vision. Same critique has been held against like Jonathan Taylor, too, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. A couple of other backfields to possibly discuss here. You know, there's Atlanta. You've got to watch the Gurley injury situation. Sure. Ito Smith and Brian Hill kind of split carries. I know Brian Hill was a pretty popular pickup and didn't quite work out this week. Another backfield that kind of mirrors that similarly to me, at least, is Miami. I mean, is DeAndre Washington suddenly going to be in play? You've got to watch for Myles Gaskin, Salvon Ahmed coming back. You know, the backfields are both messy here. Anybody in there you want to throw a $0 bid on just Gaskin. In general to maybe?
Gaskin, because he was productive before he got hurt. I don't even know if he comes back this week. So it's kind of, that's why you throw a minimum bid on it. And we'll know a little bit more, but he did practice last week. So that's something helpful.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Gaskin should be the first name that you type in, possibly in all waivers, just because of potential to help you out in the playoffs.
Right.
He's 69% rostered, though, which is the only tough part about that.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people held on to him, self-included in a lot of leagues I did. At some point, though, the math changed, and I had to go ahead and pay to drop him there. That's the worst, too. I mean, holding on to a guy, and then he gets a longer stint. Like, look at how much Joe Mixon cost you. Yeah, he missed like 3 to 4 weeks, and then they put him on IR. And we still don't know if he's going to come back. And if he does come back, it'll be like the finals of the fantasy playoffs. Someone else will probably get that windfall.
Absolutely. I'm gonna be a sucker, and I'm gonna draft him in the second round next year, probably too. Anyway, I still believe in him, but
I do too.
It's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, so we like to try to think of drops. Sometimes that's tough because there are so many different league types here. You know, one I've heard floated around after the Antonio Gibson big game, JD McKissick. I'm in a league that has zero PPR and, you know, I've been forced because of, you know, McCaffrey and other situations, James Conner this week, to start JD McKissick. But once my guys are healthy, I think he might be gone. What do you think about that? And anyone else come to mind as far as a drop this week? It's always tough to drop anyone that's getting consistent snaps
right at
the running back
position.
It's a
standard league, yeah, I can see it. But yeah, and the thing is, you're going to have to make these hard choices. You know, we're getting through the bye weeks. If you don't have any Carolina Tampa guys, maybe you know, the guy that you've been holding on as a handcuff, but or I should say a lottery ticket, not a handcuff. I mean, if it's a guy that's a backup to your back, you want to hold on to him. If it's somebody else's, that might be your cut. And McKissick, I mean, there are going to be games where he gets tons of targets still. So in a standard league, I still could see it. I don't really love it, though, because I don't trust the football team to make the right decision on that.
I hear you. I'm in a similar spot with Tony Pollard. Like you said, I don't have Ezekiel Elliott. Do I really need to be hanging on to Tony Pollard here as I need to get a good flex for the last spot in the playoffs? You know,
he's
kind of fallen down that. I don't expect him to suddenly, you know, blow up if I'm in the playoffs, and it might not matter if you don't make the playoffs.
We're going to see the most dropped player this week will be Royce Freeman, though.
Everybody rushed to pick him up when they thought he was going to be the Wildcat quarterback. And now it's back to normal for Denver this week. He'll be your drop in a lot of cases.
Yes,
Kendall Hinton,
of course.
Easy drop.
Yes, yeah, those guys, absolutely. All right, that just about wraps things up for running backs here. Real quick, sports bettors know that the magic happens when you turn a hunch into action and apply the right amount of expertise. That's why BetMGM has teamed up with RotoWire to offer new BetMGM customers a free six-month RotoWire subscription when they place their first bet. Register on the BetMGM app or website, and once you make your first sports wager, you'll receive a season's length of RotoWire's unmatched sports insights. Find out today why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks by signing up and placing your first bet today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Of course, 21 years of age or older to wager, Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, and 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the Red Line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. All right, Jeff, wide receivers to discuss here. You know, last week we kind of talked about, you know, Adam Thielen being out and some of the Vikings' possible replacements here. Similar situation with the Falcons, and, you know, that's even more convoluted here. Julio Jones, I think Zacchaeus left with an injury. But the guy we talked about last week that I think needs to be your first option when you're typing in someone to look for if you need a wide receiver, Deebo Samuel. He's only 56% rostered still, so I know he's a little bit above our threshold here, but he seems to be the guy. I mean, he was targeted frequently. He got a lot of work. He looks good. He looks healthy out there. Is he the top receiver pickup?
He's a no-brainer. He's just not available in any of the leagues I play in.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, you know, let's, you know, if he in it, I will double check, of course. Yeah, but you know, last week was the week to pick him up when he was practicing, unfortunately. But yeah, absolutely, no-brainer pickup. He looks awesome out there.
And he'd be the guy you flex over someone even like Devontae Booker or something like that. I mean,
yeah,
you throw, he's
absolutely
a starter for the rest of the season here, you know, especially without Kittle. We'll see what we have there. We got the news yesterday. I don't know if this came in time for your guys' show, but Will Fuller here, you know, tested positive here for a banned substance, 6-game suspension here. The Houston receiver thing, it's kind of a mess. You know, they let Kenny Stills go. Randall Cobb's on IR. So really the only two healthy active wide receivers after, of course, Brandon Cooks, who's I looked and I have Brandon Cooks in a couple places. He was only 63% rostered on Yahoo. So maybe that's worth checking out because he could be relevant in maybe a 10 teamer now.
Oh, Cooks is relevant in every team, every league. Mm-hmm. He's been good since Bob got fired. He's right up there with Deebo, you know, maybe higher. For that matter.
Oh, yeah. I guess I misspoke. I meant to say maybe available in a 10-team league.
Okay,
definitely
fair,
relevant.
Fair. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Definitely relevant in 12 and 14-team leagues. But the question in terms of relevancy is what happens with Kiki Cutie and Isaiah Coulter? I mean, it's tough to envision picking those guys up and starting one with the playoff spot on the line. But those are the next men up here. I mean, do you see that, or do you think they just throw to the backfield or
to
go
the
to
tight
maybe
ends,
like a Jordan Akins?
No. I think
yeah, Jordan Akins is my first
got
thought.
Some currency. I mean, Coulter is kind of a cipher. We don't know. He could
exactly.
have a Richie James game or, you know, and then have the rest of Richie James this season after that, you know? It could be like that. It's possible. I don't like the matchup this week against the Colts. I think that's kind of a tough setup there. So I'd go after Kuti. I probably would, you know, it would take a lot for me to go after Coulter.
Yeah. Oh, Kuti, like a DFS tournament flyer or not even in the player pool?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the prices are.
I assume it'll be minimum price. I guess that's where I was working
probably
for
not.
That question.
I think he'll be more than minimum price. He's their number two. You know, he was already their slot receiver going into last week, the Thursday game. So he'll be above minimum, I would think, but I don't know. I'm not the DFS pro here.
Yeah,
no, he
missed a lot
of DFS skills.
Maybe college basketball DFS, you know.
Right. And MMA
is so hard to play DFS because it's just variance. You know, fist fighting in a cage, like favorites only win 60% of the time. There's a whole other show to be done about that here. But yeah, Kuti, 7 targets in the last 2 games against the Patriots and the Lions. I expect that number to go up here. Breshad Perriman in half point PPR his last 3 games, 9.9, 12.4, 24.6. If you're in the position, do you cut Crowder and pick up Perriman?
Probably. You know, going back to Darnold almost hurt Perriman. It's kind of funny. But, yeah, I mean, that Rams game is horrible for him, obviously, because I bet you that's Ramsey that takes him. But Raiders and Seahawks, that doesn't scare me. You could probably...
Yeah, Raiders, those are the next two up, and yeah, I can buy that for sure. Let's see, what about Buffalo? John Brown, you know, he was placed on IR before Sunday's game. You know, I'm seeing Gabriel Davis pop up on a lot of lists here. I mean, 96.8% of the snaps, which was the same as Stephon Diggs, higher than Cole Beasley. He's out on the field a lot, not getting a ton of work. I mean, I guess maybe talk about him in comparison to someone like Kuti. You know, who are you looking to grab first?
I'm going Davis for sure. Better up. I think it's a really good passing offense. I don't trust Kuti as much. I love Watson, but I love Allen too. Game flow was one of the reasons why Davis didn't get as many targets. They were trying to run the game out, and that was a mistake. But sure. I think this week at the Niners, they're going to have to throw more. I think it'll be more of a shootout potential. I'm definitely interested in Davis. I like him quite a bit this week, and like him. He's already kind of had that upside, but he was fourth in line. That was what made it difficult to really invest in him. But with Brown officially out of the way, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, rewind all the way back to week 5 for Davis. Against the Titans, 9 targets, caught 5 for 58. So at least you've seen some of that ceiling before. I'm with you there here. It's pretty barren for wide receivers, you know, beyond those couple of guys. You know, Colin Johnson had a good game for Jacksonville, but both DJ Shark and Conley were both out with injuries. So I'm not going to take too much into that necessarily. I guess let's go to drops. You know, we mentioned Crowder. I almost rage dropped Darius Slayton immediately last week. He was only targeted twice, didn't get a single catch. We think Daniel Jones is probably coming back, but I don't think that situation improves for him by any means. If it's Colt McCoy under center, I mean, is he a drop for you?
Yeah, this isn't his first bagel of the year. That's really frustrating. Yeah, he might be. I throw in Travis Fulgham in that list of people that might be a drop. You know, Snapshare is going down. Jeffries is going up. That bodes ill. I mean, basically, Jeffries kind of taken over that slot. Fulgham got some looks late in that game, so maybe not. But, that's also a possibility.
Yeah, definitely. And I wrote down, I went to my Packers. I went to Marquez Valdez-Scantling just because Alan Lazard is, like, fully back now. You know, there's no more, there's no more easing him back in. And, Valdez-Scantling was against the Bears here. I hardly noticed this when I was watching the game. I was celebrating too much, but 56 snaps on offense for Valdez-Scantling, and it looks like 0 targets after getting 6 targets in each of the last 2 weeks. So, there's the fumble here. I don't like to really get on him for that fumble because he set them up to help win the game in the first place. But, again, you know, they didn't have to air it out this whole game, but Lazard has clearly surpassed him on the depth chart, and you can argue that Robert Tonyan, Bobby T is up ahead of there in the pecking order as well, and both the running backs. So, you know, if you had to let MVS go in fantasy, I could definitely buy that.
Yeah, I could see that too. The snap share is what encourages me about him. Game flow too is another. I mean, they were blowing out the Bears, and in the second half they didn't throw the ball that much. Once they got that last that touchdown to Tonyan, I mean, it was pretty much run after that, or short passes. They didn't need to throw downfield. Exactly. That might be true, by the way, this week too. Although Philly, I think, will provide a little bit more resistance than the Bears did. But
I mean, Philly, Detroit, Carolina upcoming up. The Packers definitely going to be favorites in all of those. So
yeah,
you might see some more of that. All right, so tight ends here. Want to talk about that? You know, last week we mentioned Logan Thomas as a guy. You know, we had talked about Jordan Reed, Dalton Schultz off and on. Kind of an ugly landscape for tight ends. Anyone who plays fantasy this year knows that. Logan Thomas is only 41% roster if you're in the market. The problem for me, though, is he goes up against the Steelers, who are giving up the fewest fantasy points per game, just over 4 points a game to opposing tight ends there. So, I have Logan Thomas in stake league, but I'm fortunate enough to also have Travis Kelce. So there's no situation where I could necessarily see myself flexing him given the matchup.
Yeah, I can see. I hear you on that one there. Sad, though. I mean, it's hard. We're trying to find these angles. Like, oh, we got to get Will Disley last week with Greg Olsen out, and what did that get us? But, it is tough. I'm not huge on Thomas this week either. You know, backtracking a little bit, we were talking about QT, and the reason why you might go after him a little bit more this week is the Colts are also really good against opposing tight ends. So maybe they don't go to Akins that much. Maybe they keep throwing to wide receivers. So maybe that's, you know, maybe that's the way to go. I know I'm kind of all over the place here, but I'm not going to go that hard after Akins or Fells or any of the other Texan tight ends for this week, because I don't think that's necessarily a good matchup.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know Kyle Rudolph got a lot of play last week as, like, okay, they're down Thielen. Irv Smith didn't play. He ended up catching 7 of 8 targets for 68 yards. But, you know, it's one of those not-so-fast scenarios, because if he gets everyone back, he's right back to where we thought of him before.
Yeah. Irv Smith, though, this is the second time, you know, he came back too soon from that groin injury, and this is the second time he missed games. You know, I think Rudolph might be a play this week. We'll see what happens with Smith, but... they will need it. The good news about Minnesota is they have an extremely narrow tree. You know, it's Cook, Thielen, Jefferson, and the tight ends. And that's pretty much it. That's the list. Every once in a while you get Amir Abdullah saying, hey, I exist still, but for the most part, you're good there.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one, Trey Burton's at 19%. Normally I don't like this when the whole Colts tight end, you know, position group is healthy, and it looks like that seems to be the case with Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox. Those guys are both fine. And even Burton, only 27 snaps in the game against Tennessee here, and they were in comeback mode pretty much for the entirety of that game, but he still caught 3 for 42 and scored for the second consecutive week there. So, I mean, you know, after Jonnu Smith's goose egg this past week, you don't make a swap. At least I'm not making a swap for, you know, whether it's Logan Thomas, Kyle Rudolph, Trey Burton, Dalton Schultz, Jordan Reed. It's Smith still above all of those guys, right?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, again, Colts typically shut down tight ends. Tight ends get bagels all the time, too. I mean, let's face it. They have to block a lot more. It's the nature of the beast there. No, it's Jonnu Smith easily over those guys.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now we're kind of over to defenses here. I was looking. This is a really, really tough week for streaming defenses. I guess I'll just kind of read some of them off. You know, 50% is generally our roster threshold. Hopefully, you listened to the show a couple weeks ago and picked up the Miami defense, because their nice schedule is going to continue. But I mean, let's see. New England at the Chargers, they're 49%. San Francisco versus the Bills, they're 38%. The other half, the Chargers versus the Patriots, they're 36%. Not touching Washington at Pittsburgh, not really touching Philly at Green Bay. Tennessee, 26% versus Cleveland. I mean, you don't want Denver against the Chiefs. Any of these matchups? You got one for me?
Hear me out. Seattle had 6 sacks last night, and they're facing Colt McCoy.
All right.
Why not? Yeah, and I don't know, home or away really matters that much, except, you know, the Giants have to travel. Give me Seattle's defense as a stream this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. You know, I can buy that. We don't necessarily know for sure it's Colt McCoy, but even if it's Daniel Jones, I mean, he likes to turn the ball over just as much as the next guy. So
right.
I can definitely get you there. So,
and how about your Packers against the Eagles and their lack of offensive line?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's see here. Both of those teams, like, slightly miss our threshold, though. The Packers are 67% in roster, 67% really? Rostered
that
in Yahoo leagues. Yeah, I think a lot of people picked him up for the Bears matchup, knowing Mitch Trubisky was going to be the quarterback. So the ownership definitely swung up there a little bit. And the Seahawks, too, 61%, which is surprising considering they're thought of as a pretty bad defense. They're giving up a whole lot of points. It's just, you know, I guess sack upside is something big that you look at when
I guess it's the anti-Eagles play.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about the Raiders? How highly are they owned?
The Raiders, what do we have here? Las Vegas. Oh, I might have to go to the next page for them.
Your standard anti-Jets play.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that's probably the one. They're only 9% rostered, so I don't care what the state of their health is. We actually have them projected for 8 fantasy points and kind of a standard scoring. That's as good as you're going to get from a streamer now. You know, looking ahead for the Raiders, there's not, I mean, Indianapolis, Chargers, Miami, Denver. If you're playing week 17, there's not much after that. But if you need a one and done this week, I think, pick on the Jets. Go back to that. Go back to that. Well, that's what seems to work. That's the ticket.
Yeah, especially with Darnold in there. It seems like they're actually worse with him now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So, All right, that pretty much wraps it up. We ran down a ton of names today. Of course, if you can, rate and review the pod, help us out. Go to rotowire.com/pod for 10 days. No credit card required here. Jeff, any final thoughts on the waiver wire, the state of the NFL, anything like that before signing off?
Just remember, do the secondary waiver wire moves too. Once we get more practice information, injury information, especially like the NFFC, that Saturday night one, make sure you do it. Pay, be on top of it, especially because that's your last week to do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thanks again for joining me, filling in today. Of course, you all know Jeff Erickson. Find him on Twitter at Jeff_Erickson. You can follow me at Roto Jake. Happy to answer tough waiver wire decisions if they come up throughout the rest of the week. Of course, really appreciate it if you check out the college basketball stuff that my team and I have been putting out there on the website. You know, something a little bit different than normal. We get out ahead of NBA this year, so happy to do that. And of course, fights every weekend, all that good stuff, some new product updates. So watch the at RotoWire Twitter account. A lot going on this week. Tomorrow, do you know who you got yet, Jeff?
Yeah, I've got thanks for asking, actually. I'm having a little senior moment almost like there. I want to make sure I get it right for his name. In the beginning, Brett Coleman. And he does really good film work. It's on the YouTube channel. It's called The Film Room, and I'm going to have him on. We're going to record at 11:30 Pacific time, so looking forward to having him on and breaking down the week that was and the week will be in week 13.
All right. Well, thanks again for that update. Make sure to check that out tomorrow. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and hope you enjoy the show. Hope it helps you out, and good luck getting those final playoff spots.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.